Welcome to IOM Geeks March Madness! I'm Aaron.
Whoa, we have like sound effects? This is Paul.
This is Wayne.
I'm Andrew. I'm pumped to be here.
It's all very exciting.
What is happening? What podcast did I roll into?
Well, we're here to talk about March Madness. It's 64 basketball teams enter, one wins. It a very exciting time to be alive.
I have some disturbing news for you that may unsettle you a bit, Andrew. While it is indeed March Madness,
yes,
this is IOM Geek March Madness, in which the Superman family is pitted against the Fantastic Four family.
I don't know what to say.
Well, you know,
why do we have heroes fighting heroes?
Because that's how it works in show business.
Okay.
Civil War.
Heroes don't fight villains anymore, Andrew. Haven't you read a comic book in the last 10 years?
I've been rereading The Defenders from the 1970s. So.
Oh, that's a good run. No? The Keith Giffen books are fantastic.
Yes.
But this is a preview for what we're going to see come summer.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, fighting it out at the box office will be Superman and the Fantastic Four. So now you get to see how the entire Superman family might fare against the entire Fantastic Four family.
They're both getting my money. The only question is, will one of them get my money more than once?
That's right. That's right.
Well, both of them come out this July. But, you know, Superman comes out on July 11th, and I believe Fantastic Four is 2 weeks later, maybe? It's 2 weeks, July 25th. You know, Aaron, when you mentioned the Superman family versus the Fantastic Four family as the theme of this year's March Madness, I was like, that's random. But it's not.
It's not random at all.
Did you intentionally make that choice because of those movies coming out this year?
I did. Huh.
Now, did you really, or are you just taking credit for it now?
No, I really did.
No, I just assume that's why he did it, because Aaron's not dumb.
Thank you, Wayne.
I'm not saying Aaron's dumb. Actually, Aaron's pretty smart, but still, I'm still impressed by this level of foresight.
I tell you, you know, we this is not a skill we practice really at any other time in our podcasting.
No.
But this time it seemed like a smart move.
I like it. Something new. We're mixing it up here.
That's right.
This year.
After 15 years, I thought, let's think ahead.
Well, and just to clarify for the listeners at home, this is not just the Fantastic Four family of heroes versus the Superman family of heroes. This is both the heroes and the rogues gallery are making appearances here.
That's correct. You are eligible if you are part of the overall cast of characters. Thank you. That's how that goes. If you are part of the cast of characters of a given, you know, series of books, you are eligible for participation in these rounds. And unfortunately, you know, we couldn't fit everyone into the brackets. We are starting off with 16 brackets. So obviously not every single hero and not every single villain from the Superman and Fantastic Four books is able to be represented.
Well, I'll be curious, based on one matchup alone, I'll be curious about who you left out when you included this one particular matchup. But we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay. Well, so shall we get into the first quadrant?
Yes. Let's do it.
So our first quadrant is the Baxter Building quadrant, featuring Crypto versus Lockjaw, the match you demanded.
Okay. I'm going to have a very unpopular take here, so I'm just going to get it out of the way now, and then you guys can tell me why I'm wrong. Lockjaw is going to win, and there's a very easy button for him to push to make that happen. As Crypto approaches, and sure, Crypto has super speed. I'm not doubting that. But Lockjaw showed an innate sense of danger before it arrived. So as Crypto comes rocketing toward him, Lockjaw is just going to teleport both of them to Proxima Centauri and drop Lockjaw, drop Crypto off there in the light of the red sun, and then teleport himself back to Earth while Crypto regrettably loses his powers and dies in the cold, cold void of space. Now go on and you can tell me why I'm wrong.
I mean, I don't know that Crypto needs to die in this situation. Can't just be defeated, you cruel person, you?
Well, how if you leave him stranded in the cold atmosphere of space, because I don't think there's any planets there with a habitable breathable atmosphere. I'm just using science here, Paul.
I mean, Lockjaw is a bit of a bastard in your scenario. This is an anti-dog death podcast.
That is true.
With the mustache. There's something going on there.
So go on. What do you think? What do you think would happen, Wayne?
So, well, first of all, Lockjaw has only gone as far as 24,000 miles, which is Earth to Moon, is the extent that we've really seen him teleport. The idea that he could teleport that far, that's not established in comics. So I'm throwing your potential scenario out the window.
Hold on a second. I'm checking this because I do feel like I've seen him teleport to.
Are we breaking out the Marvel Encyclopedia?
I think he has, but go on while I look this up.
So honestly, I think the two would see whoever's trying to make them fight is a evil, horrible monster, and they would just play together and ignore the whole fight. But if they had to fight, you've got more range going with Crypto. He's got, you know, I-beams, and as you mentioned, he flies and he's faster, but I think he's going to cover it just because he has the range. And Lockjaw doesn't really fight, he teleports. Crypto fights.
Yeah, no, I think if it came down to an actual fight, I think you're right, Crypto wins. I don't dispute that. My only theory with Lockjaw winning is if he can teleport them to a red sun system. And so far, I've only been looking for a few seconds, but so far, you seem to be correct.
I'm afraid I have to agree with Wayne. I think that I think Lockjaw has a more of a mean streak in him. Particularly based on some comics I've read in the not too distant past, like some old Marvel 2-in-1s where, you know, Lockjaw was a little vindictive. I think he's got a meaner streak in him than Crypto does. But I do think, given the limitation on Lockjaw's power, I think Crypto wins this one.
Yeah, Paul. I would agree. I mean, I for what it's worth, I actually did second guess my option here. Mm-hmm. I almost went with Lockjaw because I'm like, Lockjaw literally protects the Inhumans. He protects Black Bolt. Like, he's got some power here. But on the flip side, like, he can just teleport him somewhere and Crypto can fly. Like, even if they, apparently, according to Wayne, he can't teleport him far enough to get to a red sun anyway. So that's
according to Marvel.com.
So I will say this. Typically, Lockjaw's ability is, as Wayne stated, from the Earth to the Moon. However, Maximus, Black Bolt's brother, once developed a machine that augmented Lockjaw's powers, enabling him to teleport across vast galactic distances.
God, the amount of geek in this movie is, I haven't poured myself enough bourbon for this.
But you can't bring in things like that.
And there's also been tales where Lockjaw has teleported between dimensions, yet it remains unclear if this power is indeed canonical.
I'm going to go with Crypto on this one.
Fair enough. I told you were all going to tell me why I was wrong, and I was.
So, I will say, you had me convinced, but, you know, then Wayne convinced me otherwise.
Wayne used numbers.
Yeah, after this episode, I'm going to have to go upstairs and grab my big giant plush of each of them and cry because I had to think about them fighting.
Well, because now Lockjaw's had his throat torn out by Crypto. Crypto, whose throat is stained red with the blood of an inhuman dog.
I like to point out that I like how I immediately went very dark and Wayne immediately went very lighthearted. Like, they're not going to fight. They're just going to play with each other. Uh-huh. I'm only going to pick a winner because you're making me. Whereas I'm like, oh, yeah, Lockjaw's going to murder Crypto.
Crypto dies. Step one.
I mean, you are talking to someone who does have two big giant plushes of, you know, one of each of them upstairs.
I never knew they made a Lockjaw plush. I knew they made a lot of
crypto
ones. I didn't know that anyone would buy a Lockjaw plush, but apparently I was wrong.
Oh, I love Lockjaw.
Well, I especially liked it when he was hanging around with Miss Marvel, but go on.
So do we stay in the quadrant?
Yeah. I would just go down, work our way down.
So next up, Cyborg Superman versus Mr. Fantastic.
And we do want to clarify as we go through this, and I'll, you know, we'll upload the image the bracket on iomgeek.com. So if you want to follow along there, make sure that you check out the website. You can click it, see the image, blow it up, you know, whatever. But the victor of the previous match, Lockjaw, excuse
crypto,
me,
crypto. Look at Paul. Look at Paul trying to you know, correct
history, right? Yeah. Revisionist history. Crypto, the victor of our last battle, will face the winner of this battle in next round.
Correct.
So, just to kind of clarify for the viewership, because this is a use theater of the imagination here.
Do you think these people don't know what how a March Madness bracket works? Oh wait, Aaron didn't know. Go on.
We're a comic book podcast.
Hey, I know how things progressed. I didn't know about this whole quadrant thing you hit me with.
They're actually called regions, but okay.
Whatever. Are there four of them?
There are. There's. Oh yes, there are four.
Thank you. Then they are quadrants, my friend.
Okay. So Cyborg versus Mr. Fantastic. Aaron, who do you think is going to win that matchup?
Cyborg Superman versus Mr. Fantastic.
Not Cyborg of the Teen Titans.
So,
because we know we would win in that battle too.
Right.
I gotta say.
Oh no.
Cyborg Superman versus Mr. Fantastic. Mr. Fantastic takes this one. Keep in mind, Hank Henshaw is based off of Reed Richards. And Mr. Fantastic, being the original, is certainly much smarter and much craftier. We've seen Mr. Fantastic be prepared for every scenario. Even crazy Cyborg Superman, Reed Richards would be able to handle this guy. And I think that super science applied, he would be able to deactivate the Cyborg Superman.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Aaron on this one. I'm going to chime in and go second. In my mind, this one was a no-brainer. Mr. Fantastic, and I've read a lot of Cyborg Superman tales, and he has certainly been manipulative and smart, but Mr. Fantastic is one of the smartest people in the Marvel Universe.
Cyborg Superman is just too much cyborg for Mr. Fantastic to lose to him. So I'm going to add my vote to the Mr. Fantastic column here.
Now, to be fair, Mr. Fantastic is an incredible fuck up and probably created Cyborg Superman in this scenario.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In his lab.
Yeah.
But no, I figured he probably created an interdimensional portal that Cyborg Superman immediately came through. But
there you go. Yes.
So, in the Superman Fantastic Four crossover that they did in comics, Cyborg Superman was actually one of the villains. Ooh. He was trying to trick Superman into bringing him into the Marvel Universe so he could absorb Galactus's technology
and have a better movie.
So. Yeah, no, I'm going with Mr. Fantastic as well, because Cyborg Superman is tough. It's not going to be an easy fight.
No, but. Yeah, you get Reed bloody stretch, doing that.
Yeah, so. Reed's stretchy abilities are particularly good for dealing with super strong characters. And before long, Reed's going to trick him into the negative zone where there's no technology to work with, nearby. He's going to find ways to basically just shunt him off somewhere where it's not a problem.
So I think it's unanimous. Mr. Fantastic triumphs over Cyborg Superman in the Baxter Building region.
Very good. Or quadrant, if you will. So next up, Superwoman versus Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman.
So can we clarify the Superwoman, because we've had
I was about to ask that. Which Superwoman
Lois
are we dealing
Lane,
with?
Lane, the current. You can go with any version, but I thought when I created the bracket, Lois Lane.
Oh, that makes it harder.
Yeah,
okay. I'm gonna go last on this one.
Oh no, no, you're next up.
No, you're first. Go Paul. Yes.
So, in for what it's worth. I don't know that actually changes my answer, other than the fact that Lois is scrappy. I think she is scrappy. And as Superwoman, she is certainly a force to be reckoned with. But I do think I give this to Sue Storm, especially, Sue Storm, as they've, kind of overpowered her over the years in her ability to, create force fields around characters and things like that. I think she can very easily create a bubble around Superwoman, an impenetrable bubble around Superwoman, and just kind of cut off her oxygen supply. I'm not saying she dies. she passes out.
Now, I know Sue Storm would never do this, but isn't it plausible that she could create an invisible bubble inside your head and just expand it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like
she... Can she project to places she can't see?
Yes.
Okay, then yes.
And she is... When we've seen the Malice version of her,
mm-hmm.
She is ridiculously powerful. She is easily the most powerful of the Fantastic Four. She just holds back.
Yeah. And John Byrne made a real point of that in his books, that she was the most powerful of the four.
Yeah, well, in this case, for this fight, for me, it's tough because Superwoman is really powerful. Mm-hmm. But we are dealing with an inexperienced hero versus somebody who has been at this, fighting people out of what should be out of her league for years. I'm giving this to Sue, not just because of her power level, but experience. She brings way more experience than Lois to this fight.
Yeah. And same. For the same reasons, Wayne, Sue has so much more experience than Lois does as Superwoman. I think that she takes her pretty easy, to be perfectly honest, just because Lois is such a novice in this area.
Yeah, she's going to pull out things she doesn't normally do, like turning her eyes invisible so Superwoman can't see.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy what she's going to do. She's going to mess her up.
Well, here's my thought. So just to be a voice of dissent here, I could certainly see a scenario where Superwoman wins. Sue Storm does not have above human reflexes. She has standard human reflexes. Superwoman, super speed, can probably move faster than the eye can follow. So, depending on the setting, the timing, and the place, I could certainly see a scenario where Superwoman gets in before Sue can react and murders her.
I don't know, Andrew.
I just as a voice of dissent, just as an alternative. Obviously, we're gonna go with Sue Storm because you guys have all voted her in. But I'm just saying, Sue Storm does not have the best record against speedsters.
I feel like you're challenging the validity of our decision. That you're calling into question our ethics.
Ethics? Where did ethics come from?
This is comics. This is all about ethics.
This is all serious. Serious.
It's all very serious.
But despite my voice of dissent, it sounds like Sue Storm is moving on as the winner.
She is.
She is. And who will she face? The victor of the next battle.
That's right.
Which is the most ridiculous battle on this bracket.
What do you mean?
Who did you leave out in favor of these two?
You mean Kellex versus Kirby?
Yes, I mean Kellex versus Herbie.
Are you telling me that you didn't demand Kellex versus Herbie?
I didn't remember who Kellex was. I had to Google him.
Okay, that's ridiculous that you didn't know who Kellex was.
I'm not as big as a Superman guy as you guys
are. No, this was one of the ones I'm looking forward to hearing what people have to say about.
Let's see. I mean, Kellex has... According to Google, because again, didn't know who he was, he has enhanced vision. He can fly. Does Kellex have any other abilities I'm missing?
Yeah, the ability to fuck up Herbie
with his average robotic strength.
I mean, Kellex is a badass. Is he? Superman. Yeah.
No, he doesn't protect Superman. He mines the store. He's the Jeeves to Superman's.
And if it was Alfred versus Herbie, I would pick Alfred too.
I would pick Alfred too, but I wouldn't pick I wouldn't pick Kellex. I mean, Herbie once took out Ben Grimm and Mr. Fantastic, and then trapped Johnny and Sue.
My vote is for Kellex in this. I feel like Kellex has proven himself time and time again as the protector of the Fortress of Solitude. I think he, much like Lois Lane, it depends on who writes him. But I feel like Kellex is scrappier than Herbie. I don't know. Herbie's just not, he's not even aerodynamic. He's just like a big, I don't know. I don't think Herbie wins this one for me.
I think when you're comparing these two AIs and how they are equipped to, combat each other, you have to look at the fact that Kellex has all of the Kryptonian warfare records, that he's got, thousands of years of data and, skills to be able to fall back on. I think that you have to give it to Kellex when you weigh those things. Certainly Herbie is capable, and we've seen him be capable, but we've also seen Kellex be resourceful And I think that Kellex takes this. Wayne?
Yeah, I think Kirby is better armed to begin with, but Kalix is Kryptonian AI.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kalix eventually hacks Kirby and uses his own weapons against him.
I think while Kalix is trying to hack Kirby, Kirby incinerates him with his arsenal of weapons as Kalix tries to close with his enhanced vision. In standard robotic strength.
But you see, you have to look at it this way. He can see Kirby coming.
Sure, if there's not a wall in the way or, you know, fog. Robert, it's not nighttime.
Yeah. Kalix isn't really a fighter. So he's going to have to use his brain. And I think his brain, Kalix is more intelligent than Kirby.
Yeah, well, that also brought up, is this standard Kirby or is this Dr. Sun possessed Kirby?
I'm going to say standard.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still going with Kirby, but again, I am once again outvoted and Kalix will progress.
Now, you had asked the question, who have I left out of the brackets?
Yeah, in favor of these two.
Well, maybe not specifically in favor of these two, but let's just go ahead and say that it was Darkseid versus Galactus. Was the one I couldn't seem to make fit.
But you don't want to do Darkseid versus Willy Lumpkin?
Yeah.
And I mean, was.
Come on, Andrew. This is not the most ridiculous matchup on here. We have that coming up after the next one.
I like half of that one. I know which one you're talking about. I like half of that matchup. But yes, so that wraps up the Baxter Building region or quadrant.
Yeah.
And we have, so in the next round, which will be later, we'll have Crypto facing off against Mr. Fantastic. We'll have Sue Storm facing off against Kalix. Wonder who's going to win that one. But let us proceed on to the Metropolis region.
Yeah, at the moment, Crypto's the only one holding in for the Superman family.
Well, Kalix.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Never mind. 50-50.
50-50. Yeah.
So in Metropolis, we've got Lex Luthor versus Dr. Doom.
Fuck you for making me pick on this one, Aaron.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Crypto and Lockjaw didn't get Wayne to swear, but this one does.
Well, Wayne, do you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, this is the tough one. And I'm going to say I'm not taking into account Sorcerer Supreme for Doom. Because I think if we add Sorcerer Supreme, then I give it to Doom hands down. So I'm just doing regular Lex versus regular Doom. And I am still going with Doom on this one. Lex is intelligent. Lex is ridiculously powerful in his suit. Doom adds in magic as well. That, I think, is going to be the breaker, the difference. He may not be Sorcerer Supreme for the version, you know, we would normally go with, but he still has magic as well. He brings something to the table that Lex doesn't.
I completely agree. I think Dr. Doom takes this one simply for the fact that he can match Lex Luthor on a scientific and deviousness level. But you throw in that additional element of his sorcery. And I'm not saying his sorcerer supremacy. You know, he doesn't need the Eye of Agamotto to beat Lex Luthor in this situation. But I think that the combination of everything that is Doom takes this match.
Yeah, I think Lex's armor outclasses Doom's armor by a little bit. But
agreed.
Doom brings the magic.
Agreed.
I will add my voice to that tally. So that's three for Doom.
Polly. Yeah, this was a tough one. To Wayne's point, Lex Luthor's intelligence is very hard to beat. I think in almost any other scenario, he takes it, except Superman, apparently, because that's what we've been reading for 75 years. But in this scenario, I do give it to Doom. Just from the fact that, yes, Lex Luthor's rich. Doom is a dictator of a country. A ruler. I shouldn't say a dictator. He's the ruler of Latveria.
I think dictator's appropriate.
Yeah, so his resources far extend beyond even those of Lex Luthor. I don't know that he matches Lex Luthor in intelligence. He's close. He's certainly brilliant, but I don't know that he fully matches Lex Luthor in intelligence. But he does take the cake in other skill sets as well. So I do give it to Doom in this one. So Lex is gone in the first round.
Boom.
Oh. Yeah. I have strong feelings about this next one.
This is the one we've all been waiting for.
Well, it's the one you demanded. Yeah. Jimmy Olsen versus Willie Lumpkin.
All right. Here's my case. Willie's an old man. Yep. Jimmy Olsen has the stamina to keep up with Banshee and make her satisfied. Jimmy is kicking Willie's ass.
But Willie Lumpkin can wiggle his ears.
Yeah, no, Willie Lumpkin's roughly 132 years old.
And he gets the mail there on time every day. Rain or sleet or snow, he is there with your TV guide.
Yeah, he's riding his rascal from building to building.
Jimmy Olsen gets Banshee there every time.
Oh, my God.
I don't need to go. I'm not going down that road. Paul, what's your vote?
I actually go with Willie Lumpkin on this one. Because Jimmy's a bitch.
Come on.
Willie Lumpkin is probably a veteran.
That's what I was going to say. He's probably a veteran. He knows he has killed people.
Yes. So he could he would curb stomp Jimmy Olsen.
In a New York minute.
I give it to Willie on this one. Beat him with his mailbag.
I think that's a tie then.
Oh, what do we do in the case of a
tie? I don't know.
I think we have to wrestle for it.
where do we want to meet?
Detroit. We got to go to the new guy's house.
Okay. Right. I'm getting on the red eye. I'll see you in the morning.
All right. So let's re-examine Jimmy Olsen versus Willie Lumpkin.
Willie Lumpkin, 132 years old. Jimmy Olsen, mid-20s.
All right. Hold on. There's got to be some type of online coin flip because
Jimmy Olsen is man of action. He gets out there. He was doing his own adventuring for a long time.
Here you go. Willie Lumpkin is a crazy mailman.
Jimmy Olsen will use the flash on his camera to blind Willie so that he can beat him a defenseless old man. How about that?
Willie Lumpkin can go postal. That's like a berserker rage.
Jimmy Olsen he's like can Wolverine. Wear his turtle boy costume.
He's like a snicked.
Oh my God.
It can happen.
I need someone to draw me a picture of Willie Lumpkin Wolverine.
Right? All right, so I'm flipping a coin here because we can't decide. Someone, Wayne, choose for Jimmy.
Heads.
All right, it's still flipping. Did you know Google has an online coin flip?
I did not.
I did not.
All right, it lands on heads.
Woo! So Jimmy wins.
Jimmy Olsen wins by a coin flip. He beats up a defenseless old postal worker.
Yeah.
Who's probably a veteran.
Good about yourself, Jimmy.
Probably a veteran.
Get ready to face Dr. Doom, Jimmy. Good luck with that shit.
Yeah, if it makes you feel better, we're just saving Willie from having to face off against Doom.
Yeah.
All right.
What's next in this quadrant?
We've got the Newsboy Legion versus the Yancey Street Gang.
Oh, God.
I just want to see it.
Well, just find any musical that features two packs of street toughs fighting it out, and I think that's probably what's going
on. Except the Newsboy Legion are all kids, and the Yancey Street Gang are full-grown men.
Are they? Aren't they like teenagers?
I think they're full-grown men.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I give it to the Yancey Street Gang on this one. They will beat the hell out of those kids, and they're from Yancey Street. You know, like that's not a good area of town.
Yeah, it's a rough town.
I'm just gonna name some of the members of the Yancey Street Gang. There is Dictionary Dawson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sounds tough. Lug Wrench Lebowski, Rhythm Ruiz, Carlos Hernandez, the Yancey Street Gang's hacker. Let's see, Larry Little Lee, Manny Smooth Marengus, and Tommy Two-Fisted Boyd.
Well, you'd have Tommy versus Tommy, because Tommy Tompkins versus Tommy Two-Fist.
Mm, yeah.
Big words. Who would fight big words?
Dictionary.
There you go. Yancey Street deals with Thing. They're used to messing with Ben Grimm. They're going to wipe the floor with the Newsboys.
Okay. Yancey Street Gang progresses, it sounds like.
It does.
Or as they call the hip kids call them, the YSG.
Ooh, yes. Very nice. Beat up on those kids.
Teach those Newsboys for trying to muscle into the Yancey Street territory.
Now, let's see who they face next week. Are they going to face Jonathan Kent or are they going to face Johnny Storm? This is the Battle of the Johns.
The Battle of the Johns.
Is it really a battle, though?
John War 2025.
I think Jonathan Kent wins this hands down, doesn't break a sweat, maybe has a little moral angst. Yeah. But, I mean, Johnny Storm has one trick. He produces fire. I don't think he's going to get hot enough to defeat Jonathan Kent before he can take him out with his super speed and super strength.
Yeah, I don't think even going Nova is going to hurt Kent.
Not quick enough to stop
him. He's going to burn himself out going Nova, and Kent is still going to knock him out.
I think. You know what's funny? I'm not going to lie. I honestly thought we were talking about Superman's dad.
We haven't established that we're not talking about Pa Kent.
Yeah, that changes.
I kind of assumed we were talking about Pa Kent.
Yeah, no, in that case, it's a fair fight.
So who? I mean, yeah.
Because he's probably a veteran.
I was going to say Kevin Costner's a badass, but
talk him to death. You'd give him a lecture until Johnny Storm split. Aaron, who did you intend?
I giggled as I wrote it, but I did intend it to be Superman.
Oh, okay. Superboy.
Yeah. Well, they call him Superman. So.
Well, sure. Yeah.
He's Jonathan Kent.
Oh, Superman. Then in that case, it's hands down. Yeah. Jonathan Kent, son of Superman.
Correct.
Yes. No question for me. I agree with Wayne and Andrew on this, that it's Jonathan Kent.
Any disagreement, Aaron?
No. No,
okay.
I do think that, you know, there would be some initial pause as Johnny Storm goes supernova, but that's going to that takes Johnny right out of the fight, and it would only momentarily daze Jonathan Kent. So I think that largely because it would, you know, it would be an eye thing. It wouldn't be a, you know, knock him out of the fight. So
now, to be fair, my vote would be Jonathan Kent either way. that we went with it, but it may change the answer in future battles.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I know it's this Jonathan Kent,
okay,
then that may change. Then that helps a little bit for next round.
Well, okay. just to recap the Metropolis region, that we have Doom versus Jimmy Olsen in the next round. That's going to be a barn burner. And then we got the Yancey Street Gang going against Jonathan Kent, Superman, son of Superman.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Well, we are halfway there, guys. Halfway there.
Living on a prayer.
So next up in the New York City quadrant, or region, if you will, we've got Mr. Mixelplick versus the Impossible Man. Wayne?
Isn't even close. Mr. Mixelplick is a fifth dimensional imp versus somebody who shapeshifts, dimensional travels, levitation, doesn't have near the same level of power. It's easily Mr. Mixelplick.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
well, to be fair, I like the design on Impossible Man better, but I do agree it's Mr. Mixelplick.
Yeah, it's that guy. you know, it's funny because I grew up, and I don't want to say grew up because I don't actually remember when it came out, but I mean, I was younger.
I thought for a minute, I thought Paul was gonna say, I don't want to say I grew up because I never did.
No, but that the old Superboy TV show.
I don't know if the live action TV show.
Yeah, the live action TV show.
Which one?
The one.
Dean Cain.
Superman. The one in the late
80s. Gerard Christopher.
Yeah, with Gerard Christopher and then John Newton, or was it the other way around?
I think it was the other way around.
Yeah, the other way around.
But yeah, with Gerard Christopher, they pronounced this character's name Mr. Spitalick. In that show, and I always assumed that that's the way it was pronounced, Mr. Spitalick, and so I've been pronouncing it that way since 1988 until Superman the Animated Series said Mixelplick.
I've heard it pronounced like four different ways.
Yeah. So you know the version of this fight I'm envisioning.
Go ahead.
Do you remember who played him in Lois and Clark, the Dean Cain version?
No.
Mm-mm.
Howie Mandel.
Oh God.
Oh. I haven't thought of Howie Mandel in a long time, Wayne. Those are some good memories.
He was only in one episode, but it was a Christmas episode.
He was played by Michael Pollard in the Superboy show.
You know, the sad thing about this matchup is that I like the Impossible Man a whole lot.
I hate the Impossible Man.
Oh, no, I don't. Don't get me wrong. I don't like him. I like him more than Mr. Mixelplick, or however you pronounce his name. But I agree. Mr. M takes this.
Yeah, I mean, whoever wins, we lose in this battle of the characters.
right, quick.
Like the next one, the next one is a no-brainer for me.
And what is the next one, Paul?
The next one is a street fight between Bibbo or Wyatt Wingfoot.
And who, so you're just assuming that Wyatt Wingfoot takes this?
No,
no way. Bibbo. No.
Bibbo.
I'm all about Bibbo. Agreed. I'm also all about Bibbo.
Yep. Bibbo's the champ.
If for what it's worth, I barely know who Wyatt Wingfoot is. So, like, Bibbo takes this handily.
I mean, Wyatt did survive a relationship with She-Hulk, so you assume that's he right. can take some damage. But I'm still going Bibbo.
Well, and you know, if he was with She-Hulk, you know he can hit. You know what I'm saying? He can hit that. I think Wyatt Wingfoot has proved himself a capable fighter in his time with the Fantastic Four, but I do agree that Bibbo has got more training and more experience and takes this fight.
And I think Bibbo's just tougher.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think he takes a hit a whole lot better than Wyatt probably does.
Unlike Willie Lumpkin.
Yeah, it's not going to be a pretty fight.
Poor Willie Lumpkin.
They're going to be all beaten up and bloody at the end of it.
That's right.
Yeah. But that's Bibbo, right. Bibbo can certainly take. Bibbo can do this all day.
All day.
And he's probably.
Are you drunk. Suggesting that Bibbo's the next Captain America?
I don't know why he's not Captain America already.
Right now. Right yeah. now.
He's in I've the DC that universe.
Why they didn't just take reason. That shield and reach over Bucky and the Falcon yeah. and just hand it over to Bibbo.
And just get over the bar.
In the wrong universe.
Or is it?
It is. Well, here in this universe, in our next bracket, we've got Brainiac versus Annihilus. Well,
this is a tough one.
Paulie.
Oh, damn, you started with me. This is a tough one. I actually go with Annihilus on this one. Just for sheer numbers, the Annihilation Wave, you know, and Annihilus's control. I mean, he has certainly been a universal threat, where I feel like Brainiac, as much as it's a, you know, he's certainly been a threat in Superman's world. I don't feel like, I think he's a planet by planet kind of guy, or a city by city kind of villain, in that, you know, like he'll bottle your city, he'll absorb your intelligence, or, you know, your history in his brain, you know, or whatever. But Annihilus will straight up destroy the entire galaxy. And so I feel like, despite Brainiac's intelligence and despite his, you know, certainly formidable strength and numbers, I don't feel like it compares to the Annihilation Wave.
I've got a theory. How about if Brainiac wrests control of the Annihilation Wave from Annihilus and turns it against him?
Oh, that's a twist. Well,
and takes the cosmic control rod, right? You know, because Brainiac is at heart a collector. You know, I see him. I think the easiest thing Brainiac can do is to depower Annihilus, which we've seen Brainiac do on any number of occasions with any number of other members of the Superman family. I think that he takes the cosmic control rod away from Annihilus, and then, to Andrew's point, wrests control of the Annihilation Wave.
So are you guys both voting for Brainiac in this scenario?
I am.
Yeah, same here. I think Brainiac is – he's going to have decoys to deal with Annihilus while he comes up with the plan and takes the control rod. Once Annihilus is depowered, he is going to take the army.
I think Brainiac's just a lot smarter than Annihilus.
So I agree.
This is a strong Superman family quadrant here.
It really is. It really is. And so I think the question is does – the Superman family sweep this quadrant, right?
It's possible.
Because, you know, in this next one, you've got Connor Kent versus The Thing. I gotta say, this is a hard fight. But at the end of the day, I think Ben Grimm has it over Connor in terms of fighting ability, strength, and stamina. I think he takes Superboy out.
Here's the thing that I worry about. I agree, if they're both on foot, battling it out, I do think Ben Grimm has an experience edge. But Connor can fly, right?
Yeah.
Connor can just get underneath Ben and fly him up as high as he wants to. And he can survive in the cold, cold void of space, whereas I don't think Ben Grimm can.
He can survive for a little bit.
Yeah. The thing is, he's got to keep a hold of him to get him up there.
True.
Superman tried this with Doomsday and wasn't able to do it. So do you think Connor, as a smaller guy, is going to be able to do that with somebody as, you know, skilled and experienced as Grimm?
Maybe not. I'm not sure. I'm just putting it out there. I think
what you're saying. I agree.
I think
a bigger Kryptonian could do it. I just don't think Connor Kent's your guy.
Yeah. Okay. I think in this case, I really struggle with the strength. I struggle with the strength level of what is the strength of each one. But in the end, I'm going with Ben Grimm as well, because Grimm's not going to stop. He has basically he's just going to keep coming no matter how badly he's being beaten. He's going to keep coming and he's going to find a way.
You can't keep him down. I mean, he's gone toe to toe with the Hulk.
Yeah. And I agree. If I was putting him up against, Jonathan Kent, I think it would be a different conversation.
And now Paul Kent, is that who you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Paul Kent. Because Paul Kent's going to give Ben Grimm a stern talking to, and Ben is too polite to just punch him. So
one of those heart lessons.
Yeah. Ben is not going to punch a veteran.
Nope.
In this scenario, it's a tough one because I have a very soft spot for Jonathan Kent. Connor Kent. I have a very soft spot for Connor Kent, mostly because of Geoff Johns and that wonderful run on that Superboy book.
I just want to point out, in Marvel versus DC, Spider-Man beat Connor. As much as I love Connor, Spider-Man beat Connor.
Yeah, I feel like Connor is one of the weaker members of the Superman family.
I agree, because it's tactile telekinesis. It's not true Kryptonian brawn.
Yeah, and so I do kind of give it to Ben Grimm in this. To the points you guys made, Ben just wouldn't quit. So I do give it to Ben in this scenario.
All right. Ben Grimm, the Thing, keeps it from being a Kryptonian sweep in the New York region.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
But now, next week, we've got Ben Grimm versus Brainiac, so that'll be fun.
I think Ben versus Brainiac's a much better fight than Connor versus Brainiac would have been.
True.
Fair.
And then we also have Bibbo beating the living tar out of Mr. Mixaplick.
Spoilers.
Great. But now we are into the final quadrant, the Fortress of Solitude. And kicking us off is Supergirl versus Franklin Richards.
You know, Franklin Richards has had different levels of power over his career.
Jonathan Hickman, Franklin Richards.
We need to establish which version.
That's right. So which version, guys?
I'm going with Jonathan Hickman, Franklin Richards.
Was he crazy powerful in that run?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking a character who creates alternate realities just because he doesn't want to give up his parents. A character that rebuilt the multiverse.
Okay, real quick question. How old roughly was Franklin Richards in the Jonathan Hickman run? Roughly.
Probably preteen.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right, let's go.
I think I might see where you're going here, Andrew.
Yeah.
Does he get distracted by the boobs?
I'm saying that he will be distracted by the allure and charm of Supergirl. And while he's distracted, she will move in and just knock him out with one clean punch.
That is a strong argument.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it to, I mean, regardless of which Franklin Richards we're talking about, I do give it to Supergirl in this scenario, because even though Franklin Richards is absolutely incredibly powerful, and I noticed there's no Valeria in this bracket, because that would be a totally, like, we could just skip the entire thing and just put Valeria as the winner. But, you know, Franklin Richards, while he certainly has just this immense power, and to your point, the ability to recreate the multiverse and all that stuff, he's not going to fight. Like in a straight up brawl, you know, like Supergirl takes him out for sure.
Aaron,
so how many votes is that for Supergirl? 3?
I'm gonna go Supergirl 2. I went into this thinking Franklin to begin with, but Andrew got the valid argument. He's gonna be easily distracted, and Paul threw out there that he really isn't much of a fighter. He did more fighting with Power Pack than he has when he was more powerful.
True.
I agree. Franklin's never really been tactical. I think Supergirl would take him in this fight.
Indiana Supergirl. Still a child, right? That's a thing. Like, even though he may have this immense power, he's still a kid. Unlike Valeria, like I said.
Still Valeria. A male child.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, right. Next up, Steel versus Agatha Harkness.
I'll go first. I'm just going to go with Steel because I don't like Agatha Harkness.
Oh, come on.
Like, I just do not care for that character.
Paul hates witches.
I do.
Don't go ahead and cast a spell on him. Paul hates witches.
But I do love Steel. So John Henry Irons takes this in now, is that realistic? Probably not. But I'm going to show my bias.
I don't think Steel has a counter for magic.
I don't think he does either.
I'm not the biggest, Superman fan, as I mentioned, but I looking through things, I don't think he's got a counter for spells.
Honestly, it's a very similar argument to the Lex Luthor versus Doctor Doom situation here. And that Steel is brilliant, and he's got money, and he can build super suits, but he doesn't have magic. And
yeah,
that's the difference here.
You know, it always comes down to place and, you know, where are they fighting? What's the run in? What's the lead up to the first, exchange of hostilities? But I think I'm going to go with Agatha because she's got the magic.
Okay, so that's one for Steel, one for Agatha. Wayne, where are you on this one?
I don't think of Agatha as a fighter, but I mean, she's a spell slinger. Steel, on the other hand, is a fighter. And I do think you can overcome like hex bolts and things like that. But Agatha's just so much more versatile with her magic. As much as I hate to do it, because I like Steel better as well, I have to go Agatha.
Wow. And it's a clean sweep because I go Agatha as well. And again, as much as I love Steel, I also like Agatha Harkness. But I really, really hate that, she bewitches Steel. And takes the round.
Just uses some Crimson Bands of Sidorak and, you know, mobilizes them or sends them off to, the dread dimension of Dormammu to hang out there for the
while. That's okay.
That's how I see her fighting. I don't see her doing, like, hex bolts or things.
Yeah, no.
I think she sends him off on a gauntlet and he comes back with his armor all busted up.
I see her just making him go to sleep. Fight over. I mean, I truly don't think it's an exciting fight. I think that it's boom, he's on the ground.
Yeah, no, I can see that because Agatha, at least in when I've read her in comic, because it's definitely been more of a, like I said, she's not a brawler. She is a sidestep, be above it all, use magic to avoid violence type of thing.
Now, our next fight, on the other hand, is going to be an exciting fight.
I agree because, one of my favorite characters to roll out of the death of Superman was in the reign of the Supermen was Eradicator. I love the Eradicator.
Same here.
Yeah, I love him. And this time he is going to face off against Prince Namor, also another favorite character. And I got to say, I think this is a hard fight. I think this one is a slugfest. I think this fight ranges all across the world. I think we are at the bottom of the ocean. I think we are at the edge of space. I think we are in the jungles of South America. I think we're at the Antarctic. We are all over the place as these two guys beat the living snot out of one another.
Yeah, and you know who the real loser is? Anyone around while they're fighting because don't give a shit.
That's true. Right.
There's going to be collateral damage everywhere.
Absolutely no fucks will be given. I got to say, I think it's close, but I do think Eradicator takes it. I think that his ability to push heat and whatnot wears Namor out. And I think that Namor just eventually, loses based on stamina out of being out of his element and being able to recharge.
Yeah, I think the fight goes back and forth for a long time. Yeah. I think Namor is kicking his butt when they're underwater.
Yep.
And the fight ends in Egypt in the desert.
Yeah.
With Eradicator drying him out.
Yep. Agreed. Paul?
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that. This one was definitely a you know, I agree with everything we said, or you said. I do think this is a big, big, bloody, destructive battle. I do give it to the Eradicator at the end, though, just for sheer amount of stamina. So, yeah, Eradicator for me on that one.
Yeah, Marvel, DC, pay attention when you're going to do your crossover. This is a fight we want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I'm going to go with the Eradicator as well. I think you guys make a well-reasoned explanation for why he wins over Namor.
This next one's kind of tough.
Yeah, last one in the quadrant. Last one in the region. Superman versus the Silver Surfer. Norrin Rad himself, the Sentinel, the Herald, I should say, of Galactus.
With the power cosmic.
Yeah, with the power cosmic. Written by Ron Mars, or by Ron Lim. that's how I envision this battle.
That's right.
I don't know how to even start to think about this one.
I struggled with it. I'm clearly still struggling with this one. I feel like in the end, this is a Silver Surfer win. I feel like the power like Superman does have limitations that Silver Surfer does not. Especially in space. So, you know, and again, for what it's worth, Superman is very powerful. Absolutely very powerful. But it's not like he can just punch out Galactus. Like, he's not that powerful, even with all his strength. He doesn't have immeasurable power, where Silver Surfer has the power cosmic.
So I'm voting differently, Paul. I'm going with Superman on this one. Because when we look at the times where Silver Surfer has been caught off guard or defeated, usually it's somebody strong. We saw Thing grab his own surfboard and use it against him. And I think that's something Superman's going to do in this fight. But Superman's going to fly up near a sun and power himself up when he realizes the power level he's dealing with. This is going to be a long fight, not a quick one.
But the difference is this one takes place in space.
So here's my – for me, it all boils down to one question. Silver Surfer can use the power cosmic to rearrange matter, to create other things, can transmute elements. Does Silver Surfer know the chemical composition of kryptonite?
Of course he does.
Well, that's the question. If he knows – if he can make kryptonite, then I think Silver Surfer wins. If Silver Surfer has no idea what kryptonite is, I think Superman wins.
I just go with Superman being the – more intelligent, more resourceful of the two. Silver Surfer comes in with more power. Superman is used to dealing with people that have... He's fought people with more power and beat them. Surfer, I think, is more reliant on his power. And Superman, for me, finds a way to pull it out.
Wait, so do we have... We have one Silver Surfer, we have one Superman.
And then Aaron and I think... I don't think Aaron and I have actually decided yet.
That is correct.
Yep. Yeah, okay. We're talking out loud. We're putting things out there, but I don't think either of us have actually voiced our final opinion. Aaron?
I think in this circumstance, I think you have to ask yourself, who's willing to go all the way?
I think Silver Surfer is.
Well, you know, I think Silver Surfer has that eye of the tiger, right? He has heralded in Galactus to devour worlds.
Yes. I mean, he has been willing to make sacrifices for the greater good or for his own benefit. But also, he also had, depending on what era, he has also had great regret and been tortured by those decisions.
True. True.
I mean, he'll regret killing Superman.
That's right. He will regret. He'll feel really bad about it. You know, he might not eat dinner tonight. But, you know, I think it's Silver Surfer because I think you made a really strong point. He can manipulate those energies and, you know, he can hit Superman with kryptonite energy.
All right.
And, you know, when Superman's weakened, he could, you know, haul his ass into a red sun. I mean, yeah, I'm going to go with Silver Surfer here. As much as I love me some Superman.
Well, and he wouldn't even necessarily have to kill Superman. He could weaken him with kryptonite and then drag him to a red sun and strand him there, an uninhabited planet around a red sun.
Oh, so Superman lives, but Krypto has to die.
As we've mentioned, Lockjaw has a more limited range than the Silver Surfer and less cosmic knowledge about where to find the right planets.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so I think that's two for Silver Surfer, yeah. One for Superman. Where do you come down, Andrew?
I'm unwilling to let this go to a coin flip. I'm on the fence, but I'm going to go with Surfer to make it three. Sorry, Wayne.
Wow. Superman is out in the first round.
Of that's the Superman crazy. Family versus Fantastic Four. Superman gone in round one.
Wow. That's nuts.
How did that add up, actually, at the end of the day? How many FF, anyone keeping track of that, versus Superman?
I don't know. I mean, we were 50-50 on the first two quadrants. I feel like...
Okay, I think it's DC heavy on the second yeah. two.
Yeah, because we had Supergirl, we had Eradicator. Yeah, I think we have one more Superman than we do Fantastic Four.
Yeah, actually, Aaron, we were tied on the second one as well. Because it was Doom and Yancey Street versus Kent and Olsen.
Yeah.
Yep. So, actually, let's down. Go ahead and
go through the next round, because that'll help us. You know, the next round, when we get to the next round of March Madness, it will be, keep me honest here, Crypto versus Mr. Fantastic.
Correct.
Sue Storm versus Kellex.
Good God.
Dr. Doom versus Jimmy Olsen.
Oh God,
that's gonna be a close one.
The Humanity.
The Yancey Street Gang versus Jonathan Kent.
Uh-huh. See, at least Jonathan Kent has some compassion inside of him.
Mr. Spitalik versus Bibbo. Brainiac versus the Thing. Supergirl versus Agatha Harkness, and the Eradicator versus the Silver Surfer.
I tell you what, it's going to be epic. It's going to be epic. And I'm not talking Epic Illustrated. I'm talking it's just going to be epic.
You know, I kind of want to find a way for Kalix to beat Sue Storm just to hear Andrew's reaction.
You got to do your research.
That's gonna be a deep, hard, argument to come up with. I'm not saying it's impossible. But that's gonna take some work. Yeah. I am very excited for some of these matchups around two. Some I just like feel bad for, like Jimmy Olsen. Maybe he'll become Doom's new Lickspittle, perhaps. I don't know, but tune in next time, true believers, and we'll see how round two goes.
Well, hey, we want to know what you thought about the matchups, who you're rooting for in the next round. Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you can win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
Hashtag. Sorry.
I was going to say, you can also hit us up on social media with your thoughts. IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
Hashtag Team Bibbo.
All right. Well, we will do it all over again next time, guys.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.